Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is a momentous occasion. I'm excited. I put on new loafers for this occasion. You know what I mean? Like this is epic. Welcome to the first episode of, I guess we're calling it Nerds with Friends. Is that where we're going?
Nerds with Friends. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it because we're a little nerdy when we come to talk about this, and
a little geekish.
And you prefer the term geek or nerd? Do you have
I prefer geek.
And what do you think the difference is?
Nerd kind of seems uncool.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm cool. I'm cool with my
So that's like a geek.
So
a geek is kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, geek up.
An intellectual kind of
Kind of like you're into something.
Yeah. We'll come up with a name.
Yeah.
It's not important.
We're into something and we don't really care if other people aren't.
So but see, like, here's the thing, when coming from like a wrestling world, like the term's always like wrestling nerd, like you're a wrestling nerd.
Okay, yeah. That's
but then it's been popularized, like Geek Squad.
Geek Squad
is kind of a cool thing because they're intelligent about whatever they're trying, the Best Buy of computer or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't even know what Geek Squad is really.
They live in the precinct and they fix stuff.
Yeah, that's what they do. Well, you know, I'm your host, Brad Gilmore, and I'm joined by... What do you want to go by on this show? I feel like Jedi Master would almost be apropos.
Yeah, Jedi Master.
Jedi Master would be apropos.
Yeah, man, that's what it is.
Producer extraordinaire.
Hey, you know...
T-H-E-M.
The Houston Elite MCs, doing a lot of things. Hash Brown wish he could be here.
Hash Brown, Hash Brown.
He's out doing, like, rap stuff. So.
Yeah, he's late. He always runs late.
He's a rapper.
He has no sense of time. Doesn't even wear a watch.
Typical rapper activities. He's probably asleep, actually. He probably hasn't woken up yet.
Yeah, because it's still, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's probably, well, it's not that time. But whatever.
It's not morning time yet.
It's not morning, so he's still asleep. So this podcast is going to be about our kind of love for comics and comic book movies.
Yes, definitely.
Heroes and even you know, sci-fi, fantasy,
sci-fi,
whatever.
TV shows, all that.
I mean, you being Jedi Master, obviously a big Star Wars fan.
You know, Star Wars is the Holy Grail, man. I that's just my opinion. I think it's the standard by all geek like movies are judged by.
Yeah, I guess it is the golden standard, if you will.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen for the longest time, it's one of those things where it's like when I grow up, like I would see them on TV sporadically, but I'd only catch it like in the middle to the end, you know. But I didn't have it on home release.
I didn't have a video.
So recently, actually, there was a few months ago, I went to Best Buy. Shout out to Best Buy again.
Shout out to Best Buy and the Geek Squad.
We need sponsorship already. And they had it was almost $100, but it was 9 discs.
Oh, okay, you got the Blu-ray.
The complete saga. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
I will say that. It's
an amazing thing, man. My Star Wars memories stem from, like, growing up when I was a little kid. And they actually came... I was born in 82, so Return of the Jedi came out, like, when I was 1 year old. So my dad had them on tape. He, like, taped them. I don't know if they showed them on TV or something like that, but he had them on tape. And we would be in his room. He had like a little man cave with his music and his records and TV, watch the games in there, but we would just throw on. I always wanted to watch Return of the Jedi. Like, that was like my favorite one, like, growing up. Then when I got older, Empire Strike Back, it was just like, oh my God, this is like probably one of the best movies ever made. So then it's just, you know, my love just from there just continued to grow, man. And I've adopted it into my music, you know. So.
Yeah, with the moniker Jedi Master.
You know,
change the spelling so Lucas doesn't come after you.
Yeah, man, I don't want any beef with George.
Me and George
are good.
But, you know, it's funny. So, like how do you feel, though, like, because, you know, you have A New Hope, you have ESB, and then you have Return of the Jedi. But then the prequels come out starting in 99. Were you a fan of the prequels?
Because
I know, like,
I was in high school when the prequels. I remember seeing the first teaser poster of the child and his shadow was Darth Vader. I remember seeing that and like flipping out, like I couldn't believe it. I remember I was in line for the midnight release for Phantom Menace. I was excited, man. I wanted to know how he became Darth Vader. I really did. looking back on it, I'm not fond of episode one, like, at all.
Yeah.
I thought it was just...
the weakest of the series?
Yeah. I don't know if... the thing, the beauty of Empire is that Lucas didn't direct it.
Yeah.
You know? So I kind of feel like Lucas is a mastermind of characters and worlds and storyline almost, but as far as executing the direction of the movie, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I think he's kind of hit and miss.
Yeah.
So I would have preferred if he used someone else to direct those movies. Honestly, I felt like timeline-wise, episode two probably should have been your beginning. And you could have drowned that out over two episodes and then have the climax that episode three was. I love episode three.
Episode three was definitely, I think, the
parts
best.
Of episode two is decent, but episode three is just like, is ridiculous.
You know who I just have to shout out when we're talking about Star Wars? I have to shout out Samuel L. Jackson for being in every franchise that's ever made money in history.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, he's in like everything.
He's in everything. Like, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, he's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's in Star Wars. He's been in everything.
He's been in a bunch of Tarantino films.
Tarantino movie. I mean, he's that guy who's in every single movie.
He's like the go-to guy for
Triple X. He was in Triple X franchise. I mean, he's just the guy when you need like the badass who's been there, done that. You got to go get Samuel L. Jackson, and you got to give him a purple lightsaber while you're at it. You know, he's got to be his own man.
Yeah, definitely. Though he went out like a G, though.
He did go out like a G.
He went after Palpatine, and it wasn't pretty, man.
It wasn't pretty. He had that purple lightsaber ablazing, man, and
that fool got thrown out the window. It got disposed of pretty quickly, but yeah, man. That's Star Wars. That's Star Wars is the shit. We can cuss, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. This is a
Star
podcast,
Wars is the
man.
Shit. Okay, yeah.
You know, but we can talk about how this got started, though. Now, here's the thing. We've known each other since probably like 2009, 2010, maybe?
2008, 2009.
Maybe eight, nine, yeah. Somewhere around that area. Yeah. Been a long time, essentially.
Definitely a long time.
Longer than you realize. Hadn't it gone by quick?
It has gone by quick. I mean, that's like 5 years, 5, 6 years ago.
So it's a long time.
That's a long time.
And I hadn't seen you in a while. It may have been like maybe a year?
Yeah, it's been close to a year last time I saw you.
It was like a year, and the new Marvel franchise, the new Marvel installment, the new movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, was coming out.
Oh, man.
And it was coming out. It was the Thursday release, the 7 o'clock showing, the first showing in Houston.
The first showing
and
anywhere.
Here's the thing. I wanted to see this movie so bad, right? I had no idea what it was about, never heard of the Guardians, but Zoe Saldana's hot as shit. And Dave Bautista's in it. Okay, I'm getting sold. It's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
I'm liking where this is going, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I couldn't find anybody to go with. Nobody wanted to go see Guardians with me. You know, the girl was out of town.
Oh,
none of the band was available. Everyone was working. Everyone was doing. I'm like, come on.
Sounds like everybody was tripping with
everyone
themselves.
Was tripping. And because I'm like, this movie's going to be awesome, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember like tweeting you and several other people like, are any of y'all going to see Guardians? And you were like, I am. And I remember I was like, all right, I'm just going to see you there.
Yeah.
I bought my tickets via Fandango.
Yeah, man.
Showed up. Well, almost late a little bit, but I remember sitting down and I was ready.
Hey, man,
for
that
Guardians
was
of the Galaxy.
That was a great day.
That
was a great day. That movie is awesome.
The
thing about it going into it, I kind of felt like maybe I felt like it was going to do what Star Wars did back in the day, and I think it did that, and I think it may have started something completely new and completely different for kids and adults to get into at the same time. Because rarely you ever find, like, movies that attract both, you know, both spectrums. But Guardians, it was a gamble, man. I mean, Marvel really went out on a limb. Because it's popular amongst older comic book readers, but it's not like Spider-Man or X-Men or anything like that.
No, I mean, like, Spider-Man, X-Men, like, those are obviously your A-listers. I'm going to make movies out of these.
Even
then,
Avengers, like, when they were setting up the cinematic universe, even Avengers was looked at as B-roll, kind of like B-list superheroes.
Yeah, Iron Man, Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, Hulk was probably the most popular,
out of the bunch, Hulk is probably your star. You know?
Yeah, and I didn't care about Thor whatsoever at the time. I was like, Thor? Because, you know, Marvel
you
had,
love,
like...
You didn't have love for the Asgardians, man?
No, Marvel had Thor, and then they also had Hercules. There was, like, a Marvel Hercules comic. And I'm like, I'm
this
not...
is true.
I'm not into that at all. You know, I mean, this is you know, with Norse gods of mythology in a superhero universe, that's Howard the Duck territory of ridiculousness. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's pretty out there.
And anyway, so we're watching Guardians, which was, like you said, a complete crapshoot. They weren't even a C-list team. They were, like, a D or E-list team.
But it was necessary because of, you know, Thanos and his ties, and it was necessary to show the scope of the universe. I think Thor was like the only cosmic character that wasn't really taking place on Earth. So that had the gateway with Loki, and that set up, you know, the Nine Realms and Infinity Gauntlet, which I'm sure we'll cover that at a later time. But, you know, Guardians was very key. So it was like if that failed, I don't know what they're going
to
do.
But you know, it was one of those things to where it's like, I mean, it was a huge gamble. I mean, 90% of people never heard of Guardians.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you kind of, and then the casting was interesting, too, because you cast.
Casting was good, though.
It was great.
Yeah.
But you cast a kind of, at the time, kind of chubby sitcom star.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zoe Saldana can do anything she wants to. I don't care.
Yeah, she can. She can be green. She can be purple.
It doesn't matter.
She could be clear. It doesn't matter.
She's just, and what's funny is, like, she's just not even, it's not like she has this crazy body or anything.
No,
nah,
she's just like a good looking woman.
She just has an animalistic magnetism of like hotness to her.
She's like that pretty girl that just everybody just shuts up and just probably drools, just like, damn, you just look really good.
And it's like the girl in your high school graduating class that everyone tried to take a shot at, but you never really.
She was dating like some dude in college.
She was already dating a freshman in college. You know,
yeah.
Who was you know, his dad owned like an oil and gas company, and you're just like, I have no shot.
I have no chance with Zoe, man.
I have no chance with Zoe. And, you know, she too, get,
and even like she was probably nice to you. She probably knew your name or something.
She was a sweetheart.
But it was just
and
like
you just hated her and loved her at the same time.
Kind of make you hate yourself. You're like, I'm not good enough for her.
No, and the only thing
like you knew it.
The only thing that made you feel better is that she was the salutatorian, not the valedictorian.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that made you feel
like
better.
She's not that smart.
She's not that smart. she's hot, but that Asian kid got her.
Yeah,
bitch. You know, but so that was the cast I did like. But then, you know, yeah, Batista, you know, WWE wrestler.
Batista, that was a gamble, but he kind of stole the show.
Oh, we'll talk about Batista in a second.
His one-liners are nuts.
And then, you know, Vin Diesel
as Groot.
As Groot.
I am
which,
Groot.
I don't know. And then Bradley Cooper, though, what an amazing performance he put on as Rocket Raccoon, because you didn't even hear his voice at all.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely altered his voice. They had to do something.
Because, you know, because I was listening for the Cooper, I didn't hear him at all. It's
I heard
like,
his personality, but it wasn't his voice.
I don't know what they did to it, because it's almost like when Mark Hamill played the Joker, when he voices the Joker.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like you don't hear him at all.
No, not at all. Not
but
at all.
He, when you think of the Joker, now he has that iconic voice.
But
So you have this ragtag bunch of people, pretty much, that you know, doesn't make sense. You know, you hire these two big-name actors just to voice a part. Mm-hmm. One guy has two lines, pretty much, in
pretty
the whole
much.
Movie. I am Groot, and we are Groot.
And we are Groot.
You know?
I am Groot.
And we are Groot. And so I had no idea what to expect. But as soon as it starts, Peter Quill gets abducted.
Yeah.
You know, I was hooked.
It's just a good movie, man. I can't really say too much about it. Like, Marvel makes good movies time in and time out. You make some of them. Now, like, probably my least favorite is probably Iron Man 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's probably my least favorite, but everything else, I'm entertained, man. Like, they've made so many good movies that I'm not that critical anymore.
That's your least favorite, Iron Man 3?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Iron Man 3. I wasn't a fan of the director.
Shane Black, I think is his name.
Yeah, I think they did one of the Mission Impossibles or something.
Probably,
like that.
Something like that. I know you worked with Downey before.
I don't know. I just didn't like it.
But you know, Marvel, like as smart and as amazing as they are cheap. We know that.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah,
don't
yeah.
like paying a lot of money.
They don't like paying people.
They don't like paying people. So when they're like, "You need more money? We'll find a new director."
Yeah.
I mean, what's
it? They kind of at this point, they kind of know people want to do these films.
Yeah, they can get anyone they want.
They can get anybody they want, man.
Do you agree with this? Kevin Feige, who's like the executive producer at Marvel, he said that Iron Man it doesn't matter who plays Iron Man now. He said, because Iron Man's like their James Bond. The character is interchangeable.
As far as like a new actor?
A new actor. So like...
For me, it just depends on the actor. If the actor can bring what Robert Downey... I don't know if there's anybody out there. There's certainly actors that have that look and have that vibe about them, but I would definitely ride the Robert Downey thing out.
As long as possible.
You know, because at least years down the line, maybe some of the initial fans have grown up, so it wouldn't really affect them as much. But I don't know about that, man. That's kind of cocky.
But yeah, it is a little cocky. But then I thought about it.
You can't run with the same people forever.
You can't. But then I thought about it. I'm like, okay, well, Sean Connery was the quintessential James Bond.
Yeah, he was.
Probably at the time, no one thought you could replace Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And then Roger Moore came in and did what he did. And then everyone kind of added to the role in their own take.
I like the current guy for Bond.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, I think he's awesome.
He's definitely the new Bond.
I think he craps all over, what's his name?
Pierce.
And
Dalton.
Dalton. Yeah, those guys were, jeez.
I think Pierce was a good Bond. He just didn't have the best stories to work with.
He looked like Bond.
He looked like Bond.
But... that was kind of like where it stops.
Well, because when you start kite surfing tsunamis to stop a a satellite that has a sun laser beam on it.
Yeah, I guess the story too ties into. I think Skyfall was awesome.
Skyfall is one of my favorite.
That's
James
one of my
Bond
favorite Bonds
films ever.
But yet, I don't know. I think they could get away with it, man. But it would just be kind of odd if you don't refresh all the cast, if you keep people and change people out. I don't know.
Well, because I mean, they've done it before.
It depends on the story, yeah.
They replaced Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
With Don Cheadle. They replaced Norton.
Yeah.
With
Norton.
Ruffalo.
Which I'm glad they did. Norton wasn't a... Banner has a dry humor, a dry sarcasm, and he also has a very kind of matter-of-fact approach.
Yeah.
And Edwin Norton just seemed too nerdy. I don't know if that's like a faux pas for this type of show, but it just seemed like... all right, man. You're a great actor, but you're not Banner.
To me, Bill Bixby had like a really good, even though it was like kind of like really kind of campy in a sense, but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
He had a real good of like I mean the opening scenes to like, you know, the TV show where mm-hmm. where he's talking to what was the reporter's name that always followed him?
Oh, Jesus.
Why can't I remember this?
Damn.
We're going to be killed already.
Yeah,
we're
going to get hammered for this. Damn.
Why can't I remember his name? Mr. McGee?
Was it McGee? I don't know. That sounds familiar.
It sounds right. We'll go with that for now. But but in the opening scene where he was just like, Mr. McGee, you won't like me. You know, you won't like me when I'm... And just the way he delivers that, this is
it.
How you need to be. And I think Ruffalo kind of
Ruffalo did
that.
Like the whole, like, you want to know my secret?
Yeah.
I'm always mad. I'm always angry. Whatever he said.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah.
And then he also played that real dramatic parts of like, because I put a bullet in my mouth.
Yeah, that part, the darker part of Banner was what I was looking for. It's like, dude has to be depressed, you know, on some sort of level. So Edwin Norton just didn't do that to me. He just seemed like a little squirrely guy running around scared and shit.
And see, that was my least favorite Marvel movie. The Incredible
I actually like the Hulk because of all of the, like the super soldier serum and Stark coming at the end, like just how it plays a part of the story. And you know, Abomination, how Polanski is still out there.
Yeah.
And how that, you know, some of that stuff tied into you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that down the line. So I just like it because of the story, but it could have been better, you know.
But
definitely.
getting back to Guardians, when we watch Guardians. And we, you know, we sat there, and then we waded through the credits, and we also saw like the funny end credit with Howard
the
Duck
credit,
and
Howard the Duck.
The Collector.
Yeah.
When the movie was over, what was your initial reaction? Were you like best Marvel movie?
I was like, it's in the top three.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, it's definitely. I think Iron Man, Avengers, and Guardians. I think are my.
Yeah, the first Iron Man, Avengers, and Guardians are like that's the cream of the crop right there.
Yeah,
you could say that it's the best standalone, I guess, like multi character film. But Avengers, I think the epicness of Avengers just makes it the best one for me.
You know what I think Guardians did better than Avengers is they were able to tell an origin story of a team and get backstory on every single character, make you care about every single character,
yeah,
and have them come together in one film.
That's very true. You do care about everybody.
Yeah.
Whereas like Avengers, I still like Hawkeye is cool, but I'm still kind of like, okay, I mean, make him cooler. You know, yeah. Like give me something to give a crap about, cuz I up until this point I don't like care about what he's doing.
We just saw him in like Thor for like a split second.
Yeah, he was in Thor for a split second.
And then I saw him in Avengers.
The rumor is that he's going to have a more prominent part in Captain America 3, which would be kind of cool, I think. I like Black Widow.
How could you not?
I like Natasha.
How could you not?
You know, Scarlet, holla at me.
Okay, now let's settle this debate now, because I know it's going to come up.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, Zoe Saldana as Gamora. Who you going for?
Ooh.
It's a tough one.
I hope I get enough trouble in the galaxy where both of them have to come after me.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
But no, because I don't know, man.
If two of the hottest ever, you know, on the same.
I got to give it to Scarlet, man.
I know, she's
that Black Widow.
She's tough.
How she came through in Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I love that scene where, you know, Tony Stark's talking to, like, Gwyneth Paltrow, Pepper Potts. He's like, who is that? Oh, that's Natalie. She's working with it. I want one.
Yeah.
He's just like, well, he goes, she modeled in Tokyo. Did you model in Tokyo? You know, it was just awesome.
Yeah. I have to give her a slight edge. Even though Zoe, you know, you never know.
Now, if we had to talk strictly character of Black Widow versus Gamora in a fight.
Oh.
Because Gamora kicked ass in Guardians.
I'd probably give it to Gamora because she's not of this world.
Yeah.
So
she was like a engineered weapon.
Yeah. She was genetically designed to kill.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. If you're not.
I just can't.
Kind of feel like that puts you in a different,
yeah, no, you're just,
a different category.
You're in a whole different bracket.
You're like the assassin's assassin.
Yeah. Scarlett's in March Madness. You're in the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean? Like,
yeah. It's just a different league.
It's a whole different league. But Guardians was just, I just couldn't get over it. I mean, I was so enamored with that film.
I saw it twice. I saw it twice as well,
yeah.
It's just like, I can't wait till it comes out because I want to watch it at home. It's just an all-around entertaining film.
Just, you know, with Peter Quill, he's walking through that desert land or whatever, the deserted land, and he's singing in the rat or whatever.
Oh, that's the other thing. When is the last time you remembered a movie for having a great soundtrack?
An awesome soundtrack.
Like, that soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it was number one on Billboard.
Yeah, and I just thought, like, they brought back an element in movie making that, you know, I don't know where it went to. Maybe it has something to do with the music industry itself not being, you know, what it once was. But having a cool soundtrack used to be the sign of a great movie.
Yeah,
you know, at least the music that was playing in the background. You know,
I mean, to me, you know, what I think about like one of the greatest soundtracks of all time is Space Jam. And I'm not making that up because it is probably...
Space Jam goes hard.
Space Jam soundtrack is so awesome. Yeah, it has that.
Oh, the Monstars?
The Monstars, you know, versus Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Who at the time, I didn't even know he wasn't an actor. Like, when I'm watching this, I'm a kid, so I'm like...
Yeah.
So he just does everything.
You know,
Mike's just the greatest of all time. But you're right, that soundtrack, though, for Guardians was awesome.
It's like old school,
I mean, just
80s
when,
and 70s music. It was pretty dope.
And what you were talking about, like, it has something for the kids. I am Groot and Rocket, I think, are really for the kids. And then it's in space, which is always kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then the comedy. But, like, it definitely has parts for adults.
Yeah, there's definitely some adult humor.
Yeah. Like, you know, he was like, I hope she didn't get a black light. This looks like a Jackson Pollock painting.
And I'm just like, exactly. Yeah.
That's, like, the closest Marvel's ever really come to just kind of.
Yeah, they're kind of towing that line, like. Pushing the envelope a little bit, and you know, the green whore.
Yeah.
Comments and
this green whore is my friend. So Batista, right?
Batista was awesome, man.
Show stealer. I mean, it started like at first. You know, you think he's just gonna play the obligatory "I'm a big strong guy who doesn't say much" role.
Yeah.
But when he's in like the shower scene where he's trying to like kill Gamora, or whatever, in the showers. Yeah. In the prison.
Yeah.
And Peter Quill's like, you don't need to, you know, and he does like the cutthroat thing.
Yeah. He's like, everyone knows this.
And then he was like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
He's like, come on, man. Everyone knows. Like, the slitting
it's like
the
universal,
throat.
You know? It's like, the slitting the throat, you know?
And he just doesn't get it. And then when they're finally about to escape, and then, you know, he says something. Peter Quill says something. And then Rocket's like, he's a blah, blah, blah. You know, he takes everything literally. You know, metaphors go right over his head. Nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast.
I would catch it. I would catch it.
And right there, he won me over.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, oh, my God.
He completely won me.
This is great. It's either great writing or great improvisation, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I know Batista said he took, like, a whole bunch of acting classes. Because it was, like, his big, 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 big role.
He had
a role in that RZA movie. And A Man with the Iron Fist.
Okay, yeah. I hated that movie.
I never saw it.
That movie sucks.
I never saw it.
Don't go see it.
Is it that bad?
That movie's bad, man.
It's that bad?
There's a couple of bad movies out there. That's one of them.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And Transformers 4.
I haven't seen it either.
That is like one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It's worse than any of the other Transformers?
Yes.
Transformers 1
By
wasn't
far.
Bad. Transformers 1 wasn't bad.
I'll give them the first half of 2. And then, like, everything else, they could have kept it. I don't know what, like, I hate Michael Bay. I just want to be on record.
Did you see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I did.
What'd you think?
I did like it, actually.
You liked it?
Yeah, I did
like
it.
Thought it was okay. The story, the plot was terrible.
They changed stuff that didn't need to be changed. Once again, shout out to Hollywood for always doing that shit. But I thought it was a good movie. It was entertaining. I laughed. I thought Shredder had those hands. I don't think anybody really wants to fuck with Shredder.
This is probably the dopest Shredder.
Yeah, like he had the magnetic knives and whatnot. Like, I don't even know how they beat Shredder, honestly. I was like, that's not realistic.
No.
Shredder would have killed you guys.
Shredder would have, destroyed you.
He would have killed everyone.
But, so.
Splinter, too. Splinter was throwing hands, too.
Splinter looked too radish to me this time around.
But he is a rat.
He's a rat, but he looked too much like a rat. And he had like the so stereotypical like Asian guy beard, you know, mustache.
Yeah, you know.
I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was directed more toward children.
It was.
They didn't say like a Guardians.
Yeah, it was. It was for the kids, but I think it was. I don't think it was bad.
And I will say this: people are probably gonna think I'm crazy for this. This is Megan Fox's best acting. I think
and
hands
it was
down.
Still.
It was still really bad.
Still bad, yeah.
But it was her best acting.
It was her best showing.
She definitely had some nice character moments. Whoopi Goldberg, God bless her.
I didn't even know Whoopi was in the movie.
I didn't either. And then when I saw Whoopi, I'm like,
what?
Whoa, Whoopi.
All right.
What are you doing here? You know what I mean?
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute, Whoopi.
Wait a minute now.
So Guardians came out. Awesome movie. Obviously top three. Next Marvel movie we have coming is what? Is it Avengers?
I believe we're getting...
Is it? I think it's Avengers 2.
Is it Avengers?
I believe this is the last in Phase 2.
Yeah, so...
So Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. I think... I believe Ant-Man is next year as well.
Yeah.
Which I'm personally excited about.
I'm excited, man. Paul Rudd, I think, will make a great Ant-Man.
Yeah. Him and Michael Douglas, he's kind of playing the older Ant-Man and passing the torch type thing. So I'm definitely ready for that. Avengers 2, man... Age of Ultron, it's going to be tough. They have a lot to beat. They have to beat Guardians, and then they also have to outdo the first Avengers.
And to me, it's going to be so hard. You talk about Guardians, it does, highest box office in August ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And then you talk about the highest grossing film.
And
I
then,
think.
Like, Cap, we keep Winter Soldier, man. Winter Soldier was tough. Winter Soldier is one of the That's one of the best ones, too.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Oh my God, really good one. Like, before Guardians, that was, like, the movie of the year.
And I remember telling you, like, I mean, because we were talking about how good Cap was, and I'm like, man, I just didn't enjoy it. Because I told you, like, right when I sat down, I got the word that Ultimate Warrior died, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, nope, I can't focus on it.
Rest in peace to the Ultimate Warrior.
To the Ultimate Warrior, a comic book hero in his own right.
Yeah, he was definitely a superhero.
So, like, I was out of the movie, but I have a ghetto red box by my house. It's not a red box. It's something different. I don't know what, but it's red. But it's a ghetto red box. So what I like about them, though, is, like, any movie that's coming out on Tuesdays, like a DVD release, like Cap 2, I mean, they have it ready on Saturday in the machine.
Wow.
So I can get it early, and they give you the option of buying it, too.
Wow.
So you can buy it out of this red box. this Ghetto Red Box.
Where is this? You might have to give me that address later.
I love Ghetto Red Box. I don't know what it's called.
The Ghetto Red Box.
But the Ghetto Red Box is shit. So I got Cap 2, and I finally got to sit down and watch it. And wow, what an awesome film that was.
Cap 2, and then how it ties into, or how the show,
Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D. tied into it.
And then the season premiere kind of was the fallout of Cap 2.
Yeah. So Cap 2 is very important. I think they have peaks and valleys with these movies. That was definitely a peak. I think the way for Age of Ultron to work, I feel like it needs to be darker. I feel like somebody may need to get X'd
killed
out of the picture,
yeah,
or at least, I don't know, at least deactivated for a while.
Yeah.
To bring some sort of gravity to
who
it.
Who are you going
to
kill, though? Because Scarlet's the TNA in the franchise. You can't kill her. Hulk
her
can't
around.
Die.
Yeah.
I don't know if Thor can die.
No.
We're not killing
Thor.
Robert Downey signed up until 3.
You can't kill Iron Man. Then this is my theory, because I think something's gonna happen to. I think Cap's got to go.
I think Cap's yeah.
At least maybe not in Age of Ultron, but at least by Captain 3, like, because you already introduced Bucky back. And everybody knows what happens, you know.
Yeah.
He takes on the mantle of Captain America. So I kind of feel at some point he's going to have to die. He's probably not going to die in Age of Ultron. But they introduce, you know, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. You know, Scarlet Witch's powers is that creating, you know, false realities and alternate universes and all that kind of stuff and illusions and shit like that. So it can get really crazy. And then Ultron himself is probably one of the toughest villains that they've ever faced, just in the comic books in general. So,
well, what's his origin story? Because I don't know a lot about
the
Ultron.
Origin is that actually he was designed by Ant-Man.
Okay.
Artificial intelligence robot. Actually, man, if you watch some of the, I watch on Netflix the one of the Avengers cartoons. It's pretty good, actually. It's got Black Panther, Wasp. They got like all the characters in there. But yeah, the original storyline is Hank Pym designs them and kind of takes over and becomes evil, and he's driven by perfection. He always wants to see perfection, so he's down to kill, to kill things that he doesn't see as superior, you know. But I believe in the cinematic universe, I believe Starks has something to do with, because Ant-Man is not in Age of Ultron yet,
yeah,
so he can't create him and not be in the movie. So we'll see what happens, man. But I expect it to be bigger and darker, definitely.
Well, you know, because we know that 3 is going to be where they, I guess they tie things. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to tie things up in 3.
I'm hoping by Avengers 3 that.
Because we're going to get Thanos in 3. We know this.
I believe by then it's going to be Thanos. But I've been hearing like rumors that maybe all the studios are going to sign, like, be able to say, okay, Wolverine, Spider-Man. Because, like, if you start doing Thanos and you start doing Secret Wars, possibly, it's like the shit can get out of hand, you know, real quick. So if it's just Marvel, strictly Marvel, I think you do see Thanos in Avengers 3. And I think you also see Avengers team up with Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that would be an ultimate climax, too.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of tight.
3. Yeah, because I know they've signed a lot of the actors from Guardians to a second picture and to 3 pictures.
Yeah.
So,
like, so that's my whole thing, my theory about Cap dying soon, because he's only on for 2 more films, which would be Ultron and then Cap 3.
Cap 2. Or Cap 3, yeah.
Yeah, so after that, it's kind of like that'd be perfect time to have a new Captain America.
And have Bucky take.
Yeah, Bucky take over the reins.
That'd be intense.
They got to find that son of a bitch first, though.
Yeah, but now, though, so we have Avengers 2 coming out, but we can't forget the sequel to 2013's Man of Steel.
Oh,
coming
man.
Out.
Oh, yes.
Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is pretty much the, like, I guess I would say it's the unofficial start, even though Man of Steel is official.
Like, I think it's like the pre, it's kind of like the pre-nut of Justice League.
Yeah, it's like the
oh, what's that? Okay.
Yeah, it's coming soon. It's the Dawn of Justice, you know what I mean? So it's putting Batman in with Superman. First time in live-action cinematic history.
Man.
You're
going
to see the two, I mean, they're the two biggest comic book characters of all time.
Arguably, yeah, they are. They are. I mean, DC, that's the only thing, that's the DC has that going for them.
Yeah.
As far as
everything. They have the two characters.
Everything else?
Marvel's shitting on them.
Yeah. Marvel won already. That's going to be interesting, man. because I think already they have too many cameos. Like Aquaman's supposed to be in it, Wonder Woman's in it, yeah. And I heard like a Cyborg is in it. Cyborg is cast, so I'm kind of like, all right, you might as well cast everybody. You know, like, what are you doing? Like, are you already doing the Justice League?
Do you think that's the DC where they mess up a lot? Because have you seen Gotham?
Yes, I did. I watched a rerun of Gotham.
And how'd you feel about Gotham?
I wasn't a fan.
I thought it was cool, but the only thing I didn't like is, why are we getting every character in the first episode?
Exactly. I think they kind of did that as, like, fan service, or, like, I think they're desperate to get people on board with it. Really, I don't know if there's enough there for me to care about Commissioner Gordon and a 13-year-old Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I think what worked in Nolan's trilogy was that it flashback. It went, okay, he was a young boy, then he's in college, he goes away, disappears, and he comes back, he gets training, all that. That's why I love that trilogy. But as far as going back that far, and, like, you already have the villains already, like, the Penguin is already the Penguin, like, how in the fuck did that happen?
Penguin's already Penguin. We're seeing Selena Kyle.
Yeah, it's like she's already, like, jumping off walls and scaling
and
buildings.
Cats and stuff.
Like, what?
And then you already have Edward Nygma as the coroner for the police department, which actually I kind of find kind of cool.
That's kind of tight, yeah.
He was, like, on the inside.
Yeah.
Some turns. Anything's better than the Carrie origins of, you know, the character.
And then the, did they not show, they showed the Joker, right?
Okay, that's what I wanted to think.
The comedian?
The last scene,
yeah,
or one of the last scenes, is Jada Pinkett Smith talking to Oswald Cobblepot, knowing that he's the one that turned it, you know, betrayed her.
Yeah.
But all the while, I think she's running a club and she's seeing this guy telling jokes.
Yeah. Now, in some of the comic books, there is a storyline where the Joker was a failed comedian, or at least, like, that was part of his beginning.
Yeah. You know?
So that's kind of cool. My thing is that unless you're going to do a live action Batman series, I don't really care about the origin stories of villains if we're just going to be following a teenage Bruce Wayne around for,
yeah,
what, how many seasons? Like,
exactly.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I think they're kind of taking the Smallville approach to things.
Yeah.
But I think what Smallville did right and why it lasted for 10 seasons,
yeah,
is how they slowly introduced characters.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool to see the relationship between Wayne and Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
As kids, you know, as teenagers.
Oh, you mean Kent.
Kent. What'd Kent. I say?
You said Wayne.
Oh, oops.
Batman's on your mind.
Yeah, Batman's on my mind. But how Kent and Luthor, like how they grew up and everything. And
yeah,
then you knew that he was going to be Superman eventually.
Yeah.
But he was closer to the age of Superman.
Yeah.
You know, this, it's like 13 years old instead of starting it like when he's 17 or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I just think if it was more of like when he's starting to get that vigilante vibe, like, you know, kind of F this, like, F the world, I'm going to fight crime. Like, if it was even that further down the line, then, yeah, you know.
Because when did he become Batman? Was he, like, 30?
I'm guessing 30s.
Yeah. But to me, though, if you think about it, that's a long time to kind of be brooding and be just depressed
being,
and
like,
sad.
Pissed,
yeah.
Yeah,
and being pissed. I mean, you're waiting 17 years to be Batman.
I will say that I like that they're adopting some of the Frank Miller, you know, Dark Knight Returns. And if you haven't read that, then you're probably not a true geek.
Yeah.
And
have you seen the animated version?
Yes.
I was just watching
amazing.
The other night.
So the little teaser that they showed at Comic-Con, I've seen some of the leaked footage of that. That kind of gave me a little bit of chills, like, you know, he's got the back signal up there, and then Superman is in the middle of the back signal. He's staring down at him.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah,
he has the night vision suit on. That's the other thing. It's like they didn't really get into, like, how many different suits Batman had.
Yeah.
Which it could be corny if you do it wrong, but.
You mean like Joel Schumacher?
Yeah. it can definitely get corny, but I like the fact that it's a weathered Batman. It's an older Batman. He's kind of like pissed off. I believe they're gonna reference that Robin is dead.
Yeah,
you know, and he's you know, he went away, but he's gonna come back and all like that. So I can't wait to see them fight. I think if they do that fight scene, I think that makes the movie, that probably takes the movie from either being bad to good or from being good to great. As long as their fight is epic and ridiculous, I'm going to be satisfied.
But it's like, how can Batman fight Superman?
Because,
I mean, because Superman, we know he's intelligent.
Yeah. But you got to think, Batman's been doing it longer at this point in the timeline. So,
but Batman's a man.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, when, Allen Iverson crossed up Michael, but yeah, Michael was still Michael, though.
That's
true. Not taking anything away from Superman. He is alien. He can do things that Batman can't do, but, you know, that's what makes it interesting. Batman has a fighting chance.
And, you know, we've heard about this movie for years. I mean, do you remember watching I Am Legend?
Yeah.
And they had the logo they're using now, too, the Batman Superman logo. It was like a big billboard.
Yeah, I remember
on
that.
On the building. And I remember seeing that and being like,
what are they
what?
Doing?
What
are
what
they
is
doing?
That?
Yeah.
What is that? So,
I really think if they kept it Batman and Superman and maybe introduced Wonder Woman.
At the end of the movie.
At the end, I think I'm cool with that, but it looks like it's going to be a feature fest, and I think Wonder Woman really should probably have her own movie before they do a Justice League. I threw around the idea of if they did a Flash and Green Lantern. You remember? I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but back in the day, sometimes they had like really, really short movies for kids, and it'd be like two characters featured in a movie together. It'd be like a little 30-minute whatever.
Live action?
Not live. It was animated. You know, okay. It'd be, say, just imagine any two characters that exist in the same universe. But, you know, they have like a little, you know, featurette before the big movie. I think that would be cool if they did like a Flash and Green Lantern movie almost. Because, I mean, sometimes they coexist in the same cities in the comics and blah, blah, blah. So I think if they do it right, then you can set up your Justice League movie. But doing like everybody showing up somehow and
that could
Aquaman,
be the downfall.
I don't know how you're about to do Aquaman, but you know Aquaman's always been like an awkward superhero. It's like
how do you fit him into the picture?
How do we do this? But we'll see. We'll see.
But I don't know. That's why I say it could be the downfall of introducing so many characters at once, like they did in Gotham.
Before you even get started. And honestly, I would have preferred to see. I would have preferred to see another Man of Steel movie, another standalone. Maybe have somebody cameo in that,
like
right?
A Batman or something.
Because at some point you're gonna have to do another Batman standalone, and those are really big shoes to fill.
I don't think anyone wants to touch that right now.
I think that's kind of why they're taking the coward's way out. They're like, well, we're gonna do Superman versus Batman because we're not going to try to do another Batman series right now.
No.
It's like, yeah, don't do that shit.
Because the thing is, I mean, yeah, as great as the first Batman 89 was.
It was.
Which is awesome. And
even the second one is good.
Batman Returns is good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's 89 good, but it's good. And then you got Ridiculous with Forever, and even more Ridiculous with Batman and Robin.
Yeah, we don't even count those. We don't watch those. We laugh about that.
Even though Nicole Kidman in Batman Forever was super sexy to me.
Yeah, yeah.
She was, but she was a little horny.
Shout out to Kim Basinger, man.
Oh, Kim Basinger, yeah.
What happened to her? Like, her acting career, like, what happened, man? Like, I know she showed up in, like, 8 Mile.
She was in 8 Mile. That was, like, the last thing I remember.
She was in some Sylvester Stallone movie.
Grudge
Match with Robert De Niro. And even in that, I was just like, damn, Kim, you still could get it.
I know. Kim Basinger, she's tough.
Yeah, Kim Basinger, 1989. I put that up against any of your vixens.
Yeah,
currently
yeah. She's tough.
She was
the curly
she,
hair.
She ran the game for like 2 years.
She was tough. She was real tough.
Yeah.
But then you know Nicole Kidman was tough.
Nicole Kidman.
I could take or leave Poison Ivy. Uma Thurman didn't do it for me. You know what I mean?
I liked Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
Kill Bill. She was hot.
Yeah.
Kill Bill. I'm like, man, that girl.
She was
kind of
like crazy hot. She's like. This bitch is crazy.
That bitch will kill me. That's
fine.
What I said. But she's hot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But so we'll have to see for Batman, Superman. But while we're on the topic of Batmans, let's rank. What do you think? Best Batmans in history.
Ooh.
Rank them for me now.
All right. Let's go on and put Forever and Batman Robin at the bottom.
No, I'm talking about the guys who played Batman.
Oh, the guys who played them. Oh, snap.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think... And then, actually, we can do the movies, too. And then
okay,
we'll wrap
okay.
this up.
Bruce Wayne's
There's so many ways you can do this. You could do Bruce Wayne's and then Batman's. Because, I mean, I think some guys say, played Bruce better than they did Batman.
I think I liked the best Bruce Wayne, I think, was Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think Christian Bale is a decent Bruce Wayne, but I think the storylines and how good the movies were enhanced his, you know, his acting a little bit.
Yeah,
hey, he's a great actor, but I don't see it. I think a lot of people are going to be shocked by Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne.
I think he's going to do great.
I think he has the potential to be the best one.
I think
honestly.
He does too. I know people are going to hate that.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. So I gotta say, Michael Keaton is still the best Bruce Wayne out there.
Yeah.
As far as movies go, The Dark Knight is
the best.
I think that's the diamond in the rough, man. That movie is just, it's too good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a perfect opening scene.
The opening scene, that's got to be one of the best opening scenes
in
a movie
history.
Just in general.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Heath Ledger's performance is just, that's top-notch.
Because to me, I didn't think you could top Jack Nicholson as the Joker. I didn't think it was able to top.
Jack was a great Joker.
Jack was amazing. Because you wanted to kind of be him in a way.
Yeah.
In the sense of he was a cool guy.
Yeah.
But then when he was crazy Joker, you're like, God, this guy's great.
Yeah.
But then Heath Ledger came and changed the game.
He took it to another level.
He changed the game.
Yeah.
I thought the gay cowboy would come through and just be... I'm serious, though. Like, think about it. He went from playing a homosexual cowboy.
I mean, Ledger's a good actor.
Great actor.
You know, rest in peace. He was a great actor, man. He has some really good roles. But that Dark Knight, man, I think it's a shame that the Academy doesn't necessarily respect these types of movies for the film art that it is. I don't know why he didn't get he didn't win for that portrayal of the Joker.
He did win.
He did?
Yeah, he went posthumously.
He did?
He did win.
I thought he didn't win.
No. It was weird, but you know who the two front runners were? Was Keith Ledger for Joker, even though he already died, and Robert Downey Jr. for his character in Tropic Thunder was nominated for an Academy Award.
That's a great portrayal. Like, I love Tropic Thunder.
He was so good in that movie.
That was a hilarious portrayal. I'm sorry. That's my bad, man. I didn't know Heath won.
Yeah, Heath did win. I was about to get pissed. He did win because he was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just the opening scene.
Yeah.
And then,
but I think the way they cast it, you know, from Alfred to Lucius Fox to, you know, even the girl that played his love interest. I wasn't too crazy.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I was more of a fan of what's her name? The first chick. She used to
Tom Cruise's ex-wife. Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes. I was more of a fan of her in Batman Begins than I was of the other chick.
Yeah. And I found Katie Holmes a little hotter. You know what I'm saying? I found her a little hotter.
Yeah. It made more sense. The other chick was just awkward and she was kinda like throwing herself at a Harvey Dent it was just like, okay, Harvey Dent's like the most powerful litigator in the city, and this is the richest guy in the city, and y'all can pull better than this.
Aaron Eckhart played the best Harvey Dent Two-Face.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Man, that's the best Batman movie. Like, I'm not talking Batman with you if you don't agree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
I like the Dark Knight Rises too.
Dark Knight Rises is good.
Bane.
Tom Hardy did a great job as Bane.
That was some of those are the best Batman movies. All three of them. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of Batman Begins.
You don't like I like Batman Begins.
I like it. I'm not in love
with
it.
Liam Neeson, before he got into his, like, I'm going to make every movie look like Taken kick.
Yeah.
He was still, like, on some, like, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah, I was
like,
about to say Qui-Gon
Jinn.
Yeah,
like,
style.
He was teaching people how to fight.
But to me, Batman Begins was okay. I thought it was good. I remember watching it and being like, all right. That was cool.
The reason I liked it is because it hadn't been done before. Like, no one really told, like, everyone knows Batman's origin, but to actually make it believable, like, he disappears, he gets training, he becomes a badass, and he's like, I'm going to fight crime. That makes more sense to me than him teaching himself or just being obsessed with bats. Like, fuck all that. Like,
the psychology behind the character was told really well in Batman Begins.
And the deception, like, him thinking that the little bald-headed dude was Ra's al Ghul and the duality of the identities and the deception. Like, that was tight.
Yeah. And that guy who, the Asian bald guy, plays the Asian bald guy in every movie.
Yeah, and then and then they held their cards. Like, you had Scarecrow in the first one, really. And
yeah.
Ra's al Ghul, and then you alluded to the Joker. So I just did it. I think they just did it right. You know, it wasn't like, oh, here's the Joker. Oh, we killed him. Like, 1989, they killed Joker.
Yeah.
It's like Joker's a rat. Like, they were so short-sighted with some of these films. I think all of the films, like, even like the early X-Men, like, very short-sighted in what you can do with these franchises. And I think Marvel, that's where Marvel keeps winning, is that they're not short-sighted. They're like, we can do this forever.
Yeah, we're going to build a universe. I mean, they did it, you know, they did it in the first film.
Forever. Like, why would you, that'd be like killing Loki in the first Thor.
Yeah.
Like, how?
It wouldn't make any sense.
It wouldn't make any sense to do that. That would be really stupid.
And Loki's still alive.
Yeah, and I like the fact that the Mandarin was foreshadowed in the first Iron Man, and then it's a fake Mandarin, but then if you watch those one-shots, there's a Mandarin still out there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a real Mandarin out there.
It's pissed at the other Mandarin, the fake Mandarin.
So it's just, they're just smarter, and they're just better than everybody right
now.
They
are. I mean, they're just, they're so head and shoulders above everybody.
They could be arrogant. They could just be like, okay, DC.
DC's playing catch-up at this point, and I don't know if they're going to be able to catch up. I don't know.
I enjoyed Man of Steel. I didn't like it the first time I saw it.
I didn't either.
I thought it was like, I thought it jumped around too much, and it was rushed. And then it was like, I'm still not cool with the whole, oh, he works at the Daily Planet after they destroy the city. I'm not really with
that.
They
retold the, pretty much, I mean, they, to an extent, they retold his story completely.
But the fight scenes and Zod, I mean, that was.
But what did you think about him killing Zod?
I thought it added a level of gravity to the movie. I liked it.
It made it real. It definitely made the movie very real.
Because it's like, you can't be like, okay, we're going to lock him up. Lock him up where?
Yeah.
What? Outer space or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
Phantom Zone.
It's like you know when Robin in Batman Forever, which I know it's not a great film, but it's like when he's gonna kill Two-Face.
Yeah,
he's just like, I want to see you in prison. No, your whole character arc was you wanted to kill this man.
Yeah,
kill him, and then you realize, shit.
Yeah.
And that could set him up to be Nightwing later on.
Yeah,
you know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of missed opportunities in some of these films. I just think that. You know, Marvel is just really, they left it open to anything. They can do anything. Now you don't have to scramble and do, they had to do Catwoman and Penguin in Batman Returns because, hell, you just killed the Joker.
Yeah.
And it was a damn good Joker. Like, you don't think Jack would have signed up for two or three more films?
You know how much money he made off of that movie? Jack Nicholson made, like, tens of millions of dollars because they couldn't pay him enough up front, so he got points on the back end.
Wow.
And the man is just a genius. He made so much money off of that movie. Like, I'm talking, like, stupid.
Yeah, especially for back then, it was probably a lot of money.
It was stupid money. I mean, it was like, you know, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 2 money. You know what I mean? Like, $27 million or whatever he got.
Those films. I think that Amazing Spider-Man 2, that was, like you said, too many villains. And they're all coming from Oscorp. Why? Why is this like one big setup? Like, we knew you were gonna be Spider-Man, so we created villains. The fuck out of here with that! I hate that.
That was
like,
such bullshit.
It's so stupid. It doesn't make any sense. And then like, he's in love. Like, I get it, bro. But him being that in love with Gwen Stacy, I was like, she's gonna die. Like, I knew like 20 minutes into the movie, this bitch gonna die.
And in the comics, I think Gwen Stacy is and Uncle Ben. Are the two people who die and never come back.
Yes.
Everyone else comes back.
Yeah, yeah.
But those
are
the two that never come back.
Yeah. And then there was no introduction of Mary Jane.
No.
There was no, like, there should have been some sort of, oh, there's this new girl at school, but I'm trying to be with Gwen.
But
me
she's
and
hot.
Gwen break up. Maybe I kiss Mary Jane, and then Gwen dies, and I'm just like, shit, I was still in love with Gwen. Or maybe, you know, they could have played with that a little bit more.
I did like Gwen dying, though. Because
yeah,
you did think, though, for a second he was going to save her, and then she just fucking whacks the fucking ground, and you're like, yes!
And then the whole, like, I love you, he sprayed the shit on the bridge. It was just like, oh, my God.
It was like, come on, dude. And Jamie Foxx, how'd you win an Oscar and be that bad?
Yeah, that wasn't a good performance, man. And I don't know. Yeah, it was just too much. It's too much going on. Then, like, the guy, it seemed like Harry just turned into the guy. It was just like, one minute he's Harry, he's like, oh, I haven't seen you in years. And, like, he sees him, like, next Tuesday, and it's like, shit, you're the Goblin.
Yeah.
What happened?
And then we have Rhino at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And now it's setting up a Sinister Six film. before the next Spider-Man.
Sony's arrogant, man. I remember I seen an interview where they interviewed like the two producers and one of the directors or something. They asked him, was like, do you know, how do you guys feel about a potential, you know, crossover with like Avengers or maybe having somebody show up in a Spider-Man movie? It's like, oh, Spider-Man has so many stories and da da da. I mean, this franchise is endless. We have so many stories. We wouldn't even entertain that unless we ran out of stuff to do. It's like you're already running out of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And you don't even see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are, you haven't, I mean, you still got to do Venom. Like, when they did Venom in Spider-Man 3, it was terrible. So it's like, you got Venom, you got Carnage. It's like, yeah, in theory, you could do this shit forever, but you keep making badass movies.
Yeah.
Not badass movies, but bad
movies.
Fucking movies.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get a budget for Spider-Man 3 if you keep fucking up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there won't be a Sinister Six. There won't be a Venom and Carnage because you can't make a good movie.
I mean,
the first Amazing Spider-Man, I like.
It was good. I like that movie.
I do like that one.
I like, and what I did like about 2 is how they told more about his parents.
Yes.
And how it was Peter's DNA that it was only could be him, and that's why
it
worked.
It was smart, and then it just went left. It was just like, oh, just went to shit. Okay, he's Electro. All right, now he can disappear and turn into Electro. Like, he didn't really die. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it was bad.
I wasn't that good at chemistry and electrons and protons, all this shit. I didn't really
do that. Yeah.
So I don't know what happened.
It was bad. It was bad. It had me at the beginning. I liked it.
Yeah.
That he kept seeing Gwen's father pop up, and I'm like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
But then it just, like you said, it took a steep left turn.
It was like, we're just going to do a
bunch
of shit.
We're just going to throw this in the water.
Yeah.
We're going to take a nosedive with this one. But we'll be looking into all these movies. We'll be talking more about upcoming stuff.
Definitely.
Franchises. All that, and whatever we decide to call this, we'll come up with a name for it.
Yeah, we'll get like a Twitter going.
We'll get a Twitter going. We'll blow this thing up.
Yeah,
we're gonna blow it up.
Stay with us. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned in. We'll be back at you soon. This is the pilot edition, so enjoy it. I think it's Mr. McGee, so comic book fans don't kill us.
Yes, don't. Do that.
But until then, you know, I'm Brad Gilmore. That's Jedi Master.
Jedi signing off.
And we'll see y'all next time. Peace.
Oh, Brian, what have you done?